Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app that makes using different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate. There are no hidden fees either. See exactly what you'll pay up front, every time. Join 16 million customers already saving with Wise. To learn how Wise could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com.
In the mid-2000s, there was a wellness trend that was all the rage. It was called the alkaline diet, and it was pioneered by Dr. Robert Young.
Breakfast should start out with a fresh juice.
But he didn't just promise weight loss. He promised a miracle cure.
She was desperate. She wanted to feel better.
Everyone's dying. Why is everyone dying?
From Campside Media, Dorothy Street Pictures, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Dr. Miracle. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Regina Botros. Welcome to the documentary in the studio from the BBC World Service, the program that brings you the leading creatives reflecting our world. And in this case, I'll be following the award-winning Australian artist, Wendy Sharp.
It probably goes right back to maybe when I first started painting.
As she prepares for a major exhibition called Spellbound at the Art Gallery of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia. The genesis of the idea harks back to the early 90s when she was doing her master's.
My thesis was called Art is a Monster, from a quote by an artist called Sandro Chia that says, "Art is a monster. You don't know where it comes from or indeed where it is exactly. But as an artist, you have the responsibility of entering the labyrinth and bringing back its head."
Wendy was a war artist in East Timor. She had residencies around the world in places like Antarctica and China, and she's just returned from Ethiopia.
Nice to see you, Regina.
It's early March and over 2 months before the exhibition. I'm meeting Wendy on a walk she does every day from her home to her studio in one of Sydney's most colourful neighbourhoods in the Inner West.
It's a time for reflection. It's a time to contemplate. And I actually really enjoy it, not just the walk, but the thinking time. And that's something I'm very interested in. In fact, I realise most of my paintings are about real and the imagined together in the one. We are multifaceted, and I'm under the flight path, as you can hear.
She also has a book written about her, which will be launched at the same time, written by arts journalist Elizabeth Fortescue, along with leading curators and critics in Australia. So the monster you're talking about, is the monster the art or is the monster the creativity?
I feel as though the monster is probably the final work which has said what you wanted. When you enter the labyrinth, you don't really know where you're going to go, but you also go down some little alleys which are wrong. So it does feel like, to me, a twisty-turny labyrinth. And you don't know exactly what the rules are either, because you need to keep making up rules. Yes, so here we are in the studio. It is a factory. It has a corrugated iron roof. Down the length of it, and it's a big rectangular space, are chandeliers. There are carpets all over the floor, mostly found on the street. In the centre of the room is a big long table which is covered in a lot of drawing things. And there are paintings hung on the walls, and pretty much everything on the walls, and there's a lot, are all going to be in this exhibition.
You've decided to not hang it in a traditional manner, right? It sounds to me a little bit like your process is also now your exhibition.
That is such an interesting thing to say. I am creating a world which I guess is kind of a bit like a labyrinth to enter. And as you walk through, you will see paintings hung really high, some are hung really low, one is hung upside down, paintings are hung touching, they're on a washy background, and you are in a world of many twists and turns. There are two rooms in this exhibition. There's a big room, which is the exhibition, if you like, which has this unusual installation. And then there's a smaller room, which is still quite large, where they are recreating part of my studio. They're taking a couch, they're taking easels, a chandelier, canvases I haven't painted on yet, painting equipment, various props that have appeared in some paintings. I'm concerned that it's going to look too pristine and it's going to be too neat. I am also painting a mural in front of the public. Now, that is something I don't know how that's going to work, because I can't really paint and talk at the same time. I know what the subject of that mural is, me sitting at an easel, and all these figures are around her. Are they ghosts? Are they what she's thinking about? Are they the general public? I don't think they are.
So you go in, will you be going in for the whole time? The whole, that's an endurance work.
So I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but somehow I'll do it. I know I'll spend a lot of time talking to people, and that's nice, people saying, oh, so what are you doing? What is this? I'm also actually painting murals on the walls before the exhibition starts. So this big install of all these paintings hung on this greyish wash, the greyish wash will merge into a mural. Another one of the walls will have hundreds of teeny weeny scraps of drawings that are like little fragments of ideas. And there is a wall of work in very old antique frames. And some come from Paris flea market and others just junk shops around here on my way to the studio. And because they're old and because the people at the gallery who are concerned in case there's any evil little grubs in there, they put them into a deep freezer unit. And that's something I've never encountered before.
As Wendy's talking, I can't help but think how all of these experiences she's had, being an Archibald winner, which is a major prize in Australia, the work she's done with performers like ballet dancers and burlesque performers. She goes to her home in Paris every year, but was also a war artist in East Timor. She's had residencies in Mexico, Egypt, China, and Antarctica. And now she's just returned from Ethiopia. I do want to ask you, did you get any recordings from...
from Ethiopia?
From Ethiopia.
I don't know if there really is, but I did.
So sounds, or did you describe things as well?
Yeah, I did. So moving to be there, making work to sell off to raise money for this Hamlin Fistula Foundation. It was set up in the 50s by two Australian doctors, Catherine and Reg Hamlin, who went over there then, and they just really dedicated their whole lives to it.
Wendy shows me some of the recordings she made in Ethiopia.
In Addis Ababa. Behind me is a ward with women recovering from birth injuries. I want to find them singing. I do have it. I'm sitting drawing in the grounds. I was meant to be just drawing a couple of women doing some sewing, and now I have a group of 30? I don't know. It's crazy and wonderful. I can't draw them all. They're also stunning. And then they started to sing this fantastic song. Isn't that gorgeous? If they were in the West, babies caught inside them, they would have a cesarean, they'd be fine. Being in an area that's really isolated and rural with no facilities, terrible injuries, baby dies, ripped up inside. One, I was told that there was this woman who was about 80 and she'd lived like that since she was in her 30s. And in her case, the operation really took half an hour. That's interesting, isn't it?
Wendy shows me these quite detailed printouts of the space.
So these are the two rooms.
And there's your studio.
Yeah, except it'll have... so this is a little mock-up of the studio. People are fascinated by workspaces. I am too. And we're interested in how people work. When we go to a gallery, we generally see a painting hung on a pristine wall. That's not usually where it came from, and all its friends aren't with it. or its ancestors go right back. So, okay, that's a bit like this painting. It's a bit like that painting. If I hadn't done that painting, I wouldn't have done that. That it goes right back into the dawn of time.
Well as all of that, there will be a book launched at the same time, if everything goes to plan.
It opens on Saturday, but actually have a do, and it would also be a book launch. The book is by Elizabeth Fortescue. The first thing in the book is a little matchbox TV set that I made when I was about 11, which flips over and you can look at TV things on it. It's like I was drawing different pictures for it. So that goes right back to when I was 11. That's how far back it goes.
Well, it's mid-April and I'm back in this massive warehouse come studio. It's just over 6 weeks until the launch.
Red velvet. And it was perfect. On my way to the studio last week, I discovered in an old shopping trolley that I saw an incredible red velvet curtain.
I like the idea that something might be behind it, a bit,
you mean,
something
you mean,
secret, you know? My name is Natalie Wilson and I'm a curator at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. I'm working with Wendy Sharp to create our third open studio project, Wendy Sharp Spellbound.
Or this could be something that sticks out a bit.
Yes. I've told my colleagues, Wendy is the composer, I am the conductor, and all of the staff at the gallery are the orchestra, and together we are presenting this incredible performative creation, that German word Gesamtkunstwerk, whereby all different elements of creativity are brought together to create this holistic new artwork.
So what's happening today?
We're going to be discussing what is in the display cases.
So over here they're like laid out on the floor in the potential way they're going to be seen?
Yeah. And what I'm looking at, they're a flat piece of cardboard with a printed woman, say, wearing a toga standing around and some writing in French. They're 1903, and what they actually are was a calendar. I love seeing these sorts of ephemera, these things that were not meant to be kept. But I bought them in a street antique market in Paris. Picking one up now.
But they're quite thick.
No, it's a thick cardboard. So that's one of the things that's here. And then I also have these photos, which are here. They're about the size of the palm of your hand-ish, right? They are called cartes de visite, and they're mostly from around the 1880s till about 1920. So they're all sepia photographs, and I've painted on them, but I haven't painted over anyone's faces because I want to be a little bit respectful. For example, there was a woman who was dressed very stiffly in a dress from the late 1800s. I painted some pyramids behind her and all that, and I'd like to think, well, maybe she always wanted to travel and be an explorer or something.
Yes, in our printouts that we've got here.
That's so good, having a 3D thing.
Well, it just gives you a sense of the space.
Totally.
And speaking That's of really, really small works, that wall, which has got all of the framed little works, creating that beautiful texture with the roll-on wallpaper.
What we're talking about is many, I don't know, 30? A lot.
We're up to 50 now.
And they're hung in a scatter, but because they're very small, you don't want a label next to each little thing on a black background. So what we're going to do is call a shadow diagram, which is a line drawing of where all the pieces are, so that you can look at number one that's in the top left is this. There's one, for example, that's a Mexican hand souvenir thing in metal, and inside is a little work in gouache.
I like the peephole.
It's about 10 centimetre circle-ish, quite heavy metal. But you put your eye to it, and there's a woman who's like a beautiful 1950s starlet who starts off in her dress and ends up in her undies. As you click, she takes more and more off.
So are there any challenges for you, Natalie?
The exhibition opens on the 25th of May to the public. The 2 weeks prior to that, Wendy will be directing our painters to create this grey wall wash across all of the large room. And then Wendy will also, in the second week, start painting the mural that's going to be in the installation. There's two murals. One will be open to the public from the first day on the 25th of May. The second one Wendy will be painting over a series of weeks in the studio space.
It's all designed as an art piece together. Bit hard to describe.
Somewhat challenging for our team. We haven't worked in this way before, painting walls and putting works on, yeah, and then painting walls again. So we have to leave a couple of days between to make sure the paint dries, and there's something called off-gassing. And, of course, probably nothing will go to plan. But, right, yeah, it is an unusual way for us to work, but everyone's pretty excited. And yeah, the most important thing, I think, really, is just making sure we're not creating this sort of IKEA version of Wendy's studio. We're going to strip your studio. You're not going to have much left in here, Wendy, when we're done with it.
Well, it's good. It's good. No, it's really good.
Der Disney Plus Serientipp.
Hey, hier spricht Meredith Grey, direkt aus dem Grey Sloan Memorial Hospital. Wir suchen Verstärkung, denn hier kommen viele neue Fälle rein. Unsere Station ist voll mit außergewöhnlichen Patienten, jungen Ärzten in Ausbildung und viel zwischenmenschlichem Drama. Also schau schnell vorbei.
Grey's Anatomy, die neuen Folgen und alle Staffeln nur auf Disney Plus streamen. Abo schon ab 5,99 € pro Monat. Und nun viel Spaß beim Podcast, wünscht Disney Plus.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app that makes using different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate. There are no hidden fees either. See exactly what you'll pay up front, every time. Join 16 million customers already saving with Wise. To learn how Wise could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. The exhibition, Spellbound, is a massive undertaking and aiming to be an immersive experience. The walls won't be a pristine white, but a dark grey wash. Wendy Sharp, the artist, is painting a mural directly onto the gallery walls. There'll be a studio replica of her space with the artist installed, painting in front of the public. It sounds exhausting, but I can't wait to see it. It's May the 11th and 2 weeks before the opening. I'm heading to the Art Gallery of New South Wales to meet Wendy. She's been in there this week, painting directly onto the walls.
How are you?
I'm all right, but as you can hear, I've got a cold.
Wendy's been sick all week. The first room is an exhibition space, which I'm told is about 20 metres long. It's a dark cave-like colour. No actual artworks are on the walls yet, but there are taped outlines and a few photocopies of some very large paintings. There are ladders, and it's quite a mess of objects. The room is huge. I can't help but wonder how many works will fill the space.
I'm going to do some of this in front of you.
Great.
What I'm doing right now is I'm working on the large mural component, which is in the exhibition room, where all the paintings slowly morph into a mural. There are large faces, there is text, there is fake wallpaper, there's washes, there's what looks like pieces of actual paper glued on, but is an illusion. I want it to look like it's a piece of a torn poster, like from an old movie or from something, a bit scary and black and white. I've used masking tape to make a rough edge, and I've ripped the masking tape so that it's a zigzaggy, crinkly edge. This is always really exciting. It's like the reward for doing it. There's a sharpness and a roughness to it. Oh, that looks good. There's the woman walking down the road. There's a tree in the background. She's holding a torch, all in black and white. There are two faces that I've painted right next to it, which are way bigger than I am, like 2.5 metres or something each. They're enormous.
Is this the first week you've been in here?
So, yeah, this is the fifth day. So I was here on Monday and it's Friday now. When I arrived, all the walls of this room were painted a creamy, yellowy, custardy colour. And then we mixed up a wash of a dark grey and I showed them how I wanted it done. Putting a rag up to your elbows and then while the rag is dripping with that, swishing and swashing it across the wall so that you get very obvious marks on the wall and you get a scumbly, rough texture. It's really, really messy.
What is it about your work? You know, you are painting onto the wall. There's like no edge to your art?
If this was an exhibition in a commercial gallery and I'm trying to sell the work, there's no way I would do this. There's a lot of paintings. People are also asking me how many paintings are in the show, and it's not relevant because, I mean, if it was a normal exhibition, this would take up another two or three galleries. But this is designed as a really kind of an immersive installation.
I want to ask about this corner. Yeah. So from the hanging work into the mural, in the corner on the way through, you've got some taped images?
Yeah. Yes, there'll be physical paintings hung on the wall. Part of the mural goes a bit behind them, and then it all becomes mural. And one of the paintings is hung over part of the mural. They printed one of my paintings, life-size. It's a painting of a naked woman, and she looks like she's directing these imaginary reddish shapes with images on them that are floating around her. These red imaginary blobs spin around her, and then they spin off the oil painting onto the wall behind. And I needed to know where she was.
And also, this is expanding a work that you've done. And what is it like to have something that you contained in an artwork and then think, you would probably never have thought this would expand so widely?
That's so true. And it's also what happens next. When I painted that, I wasn't really thinking, what's to the left of it? What's above it? What's below? If we went into that painting and we walked a bit in one direction or the other, what would we see? So I'm looking at one of the a printout where there are three women who are the three fates, spinning the thread of life, measuring it and cutting it off. But in the background is some flaming buildings, a little section like it's been ripped out of something, and then at the top right-hand corner is a suburban street with a house at night. Now, I'm just thinking, walking beyond the frame, if we walked into that little scene and we walked around the corner into what I've hinted at as a dark alley, what's down there? Talking to you, what it actually made me think is I've just painted this picture of a woman walking down a road at night holding a torch. Maybe she's related to that, and that's what comes next.
Are you in here next week to do the next room?
I am, yep. So
what becomes apparent to me as we're talking is this pressure of a deadline. This has to get finished in time.
It won't be quite as manic, I guess. It's absolutely a deadline because this week they want all this painting bit that I'm doing now finished. When I'm painting for an exhibition, I try and leave plenty of time so that I can have time to mull over. You ain't got mulling time. In fact, as I'm talking to you, I'm seeing that something needs a bit of adjustment. The clump of trees is too much like an octopus. That's better. I've just made that a bit less even.
So will you get it done?
Oh, look, I don't know. The title wall is a couple of washes, and then I've got to write Wendy Sharp spellbound in a way that looks incredibly casual and also legible. And that's, for me, very hard.
The book?
Yeah.
As I'm leaving, I'm curious to know if the book by Elizabeth Fortescue will arrive in time for the launch.
Lou Fortescue had an advanced copy.
But you're not sure it's going to arrive? You're hoping?
Well, we're hoping. Look, they say so, but we don't believe anything until we've actually got it.
I'm walking through the Botanical Gardens towards the Art Gallery of New South Wales for the launch of Wendy's exhibition. The Art Gallery sits on the edge of the harbour, around the coast from the Opera House, in an old sandstone building which dates back to 1880.
Luckily, even though the book isn't exactly here right at this very moment, we were able to get a box rushed here. Only by chance, nearly missed it.
My name's Elizabeth Fortescue. I'm an Australian journalist based in Sydney in Australia, and I've just written a new book about Wendy Sharp. I think it was all about this moment in time for Wendy. She's more than loved for her work. I think she's very much loved for what she does in the community as well, raising funds for great causes like refugees and things like that. I think the book celebrates that. It also just celebrates her magnificent output of work since the days of art school right through to today. It's got five beautiful essays by contributors who are highly recognised in their field in Australia, curators, critics, authors. We're very fortunate that they all agreed to come on board and write so beautifully about Wendy.
Congratulations, Wendy, and my ceremoniously cut the virtual room.
My name is Anne Ryan, and I'm a curator of Australian art.
And you've contributed an essay or a chapter in the book. What do you think Wendy means to Australians?
I think Wendy first came into public consciousness when she won the Archibald Prize for Portraiture. The other thing I think too is that she's very engaged with the world. She often uses her talent for good, but also she's kind of courageous. But I think when she paints the figure, whether it's an actor or a performer or an asylum seeker or herself, you really do get a sense of that person's humanity and who they are and their dignity.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yes. You know, what I'm going to be doing most Friday mornings is on that wall painting a mural. So come back, just check.
I can't help but think of all of these experiences that Wendy's had, if there might be a tiny idea that goes back maybe to her monster thesis or the dawn of time she was talking about earlier.
I'm trying to see if there's a particular painting, but I can tell you that when I was in my mid-20s, I painted a picture of myself walking down the road where I was living in Darlinghurst in inner Sydney, surrounded by all these kind of crazy characters. And although this mural that I'm going to be painting in front of the public isn't the same as that, it's probably its distant great-great-great-auntie or something. I also did paintings that were based on Gustav Courbet's painting of the studio, which is a very famous painting in the Musée d'Orsay, and all these people around him. It probably is a relative of that too, and also of my looking at that.
Are you happy with that?
I've had a show together. Yeah, no, I am. I think it looks really good.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
I'm very pleased with it. But doesn't the lighting also make a difference?
Well, it's the 21st of June and I'm back at the gallery to see Wendy painting the mural in front of the public. It's kind of like she's become part of the artwork. She's in her mock-up studio and she's talking to some school children when I arrive.
So they're doing portraits at the moment in Year 7 at St Luke's at Marston Park. So they're getting an artist's perspective.
Hello, what's your name?
Alexia.
Alexia, what do you think about seeing Wendy painting right onto the wall?
It gives me like tips when I do artworks myself and I can get more perspectives of the artworks.
Terrific. And what about you? What's your name?
Aman. I think it's an amazing thing to see. I believe it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Can I ask your name?
Francine de Valence. It's really good to see a whole heap of an artist's work. You get a greater impression. She's so incredibly colourful. It's lovely to see her in action.
Hi. Well, this does look like a studio.
It does. What I'm doing is a mural that's about 6-7 metres. In the centre is a woman sitting at an easel painting, who's kind of me, and then all around her, magical imagined creatures. So I want the creatures and floating heads to feel like they inhabit a different world to the world we inhabit. You never see this. You never see how something is made.
An artist at work.
An artist at work.
You've been listening to Wendy Sharp with her labyrinth-like exhibition Spellbound, a monstrous-sized immersive work for the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, produced and presented by me, Regina Botros, and my executive producer is Stephen Hughes. Each episode of the documentary In the Studio is available wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app that makes using different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate. There are no hidden fees either. See exactly what you'll pay up front, every time. Join 16 million customers already saving with Wise. To learn how Wise could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com.
In the mid-2000s, there was a wellness trend that was all the rage. It was called the alkaline diet, and it was pioneered by Dr. Robert Young.
Breakfast should start out with a fresh juice.
But he didn't just promise weight loss. He promised a miracle cure.
She was desperate. She wanted to feel better.
Everyone's dying. Why is everyone dying?
From Campside Media, Dorothy Street Pictures, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Dr. Miracle. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.